McGill Daily of the Daily.
I'm McGill Daily.
Hi, I'm calling from the McGill Daily. Can I ask you some questions?
This is a little bit problematic.
News.
Will you design? Could I see you for a second?
We're gonna cap this.
News, can you dummy?
Did that story come in yet?
Editorial's in 5 minutes.
McGill Daily.
Unfit to print.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the McGill Daily's bi-weekly radio segment, Unfit to Print, on CKUT. I'm Fabien Maltebeda, one of the Daily's culture editors, and I'll be your host for today. We've got three stories coming at you, starting with a piece by Daily contributor Angus Sharp, looking at the one-man show, Redemption, The Gwela Is Here, produced by Rabbi Chaim Gruber on October 4th at the Rialto Theater. Next, we have two pieces by the Daily's web editor, Shannon Paulus. First, we'll hear Shannon talking to participants and organizers at the recent hackathon, held on September 30th and October 1st, followed by her interview with some of the students behind note-sharing website Wikinotes.
Culture.
Rabbi Chaim Gruber has achieved a bit of a reputation for being one of the more controversial figures in Montreal's Hasidic community. It comes as little surprise, then, that his one-man show, Redemption, The Gwela Is Here, performed on October 4th at the Rialto Theater, caused quite a stir. The performance ended early after police and paramedics were called to the scene under what remain relatively ambiguous circumstances. Shortly thereafter, Angus sat down with Rabbi Chaim Gruber to discuss the performance and the events of the evening.
How are you feeling about the reaction, what's happened?
I think it's great. I just got a call from a big rabbi in the community who was here, and he said he loved it. And that will spread to everyone. Do you know, this is a very strict rabbi also, and it will spread to the whole community.
You're not at all upset about the reaction being cut short?
No, I think it was just a mix-up. What happened was, I think it was a combination of things. It was actually not the Hasidim who called 911, as I understand, but it was a woman and another man. And I think it was a combination. What happened earlier was when I was giving an interview to another press woman, I got very emotional at one point regarding thinking of the Messiah, the need for the Messiah, that the world is in such a calamitous state that the Messiah has to come soon. And I got welled with emotion because it's really needed. And I welled with sad emotion. And then a moment later, I forced myself not to be emotional because here I am, a host. Do you know, putting on this performance, and I forced myself not to be. Maybe I shouldn't have forced myself not to be, but they thought it was sort of strange that one second I was overcome with emotion and the second not happy, but it was due to me forcing myself to be happy.
And could you just tell us what was going on upstairs, because we weren't able to see, and you spent quite a long time trying to calm people down?
I didn't myself understand what was going on. I thought maybe that someone was going to try to cause a friction, but that wasn't it, it turned out. It turned out that people were just, I guess, concerned about me, concerned about my mental state, and that when I first got on stage, I was also sweating profusely. I was nervous at the beginning. I guess they saw me sweating, and also, because Hasidim don't usually come in here, they themselves were just nervous going in and out, so it made the staff nervous, do you see? But they had jitters in the same way, they never come into a place like this. So the staff perceived this, oh, is what's going on, do you see? So the police were called and the paramedics were called. No doubt this will now even make more press.
It must cement your status as Houchemont's most controversial rabbi, as was said on the press release. Is that something you welcome?
I guess so. Well, I mean, I don't like to be controversial, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
If need be, I will be controversial if one has to make a stand and be courageous. I don't like to be controversial because I like love and comfort. Do you know, I don't need that kind of attention. You know, I prefer to have comfortable, loving attention from people and to give it. But if it's a circumstance where there is wrong going on, one has to be courageous. And then at those points, they become controversial because they're going against the crowd or whichever segment that needs to be changed, you see. the status quo.
And would you like to take this opportunity to tell us how, where the show was going before it was cut?
The show was going to wonderful places. I was going into a divine conversation and explaining how the Lord is everywhere, how God is everywhere, and that one could understand how God speaks to us through the unusual, through unusual things, events happening, so that one understands, oh, this is beyond coincidence. You know, this is what unusual things are going on, because an Almighty precludes unrelated coincidence. So we were delving into those realms, which would have explained how this whole event came here to the Rialto, because it was just one coincidence after another.
What was the motivation behind choosing the Rialto?
It was chosen for me by these series of coincidences. That's what I was going to get at. And a lot of people came. Seems like, I don't know, maybe 40 Hasidim came, including the upstairs. That was great. And they wanted to come back. And they're asking, when is it going to be here again? And I got a call back from this rabbi saying that it was great. So this is why the Almighty must have intervened, because he knew it was going to be...
I mean, are you saying, do you think there were no hostile Hasidim here?
I'm going to say no. I will say no. It was just a misunderstanding. So I'm just going to say it was a misunderstanding.
That was Angus Sharp for the McGill Daily. His article detailing the performance of Rabbi Chaim Gruber's redemption, The Gwela Is Here, will be running in the Daily's culture section on Thursday, October 13th.
Science and technology.
Next, we have Shannon Paulus talking to some of the people involved in the recent hackathon, co-hosted by Montreal Group's Startupifier and McGill Group Tech Think Tank, which took place on Friday, September 30th and Saturday, October 1st, bringing together members of the Montreal tech community. About 40 people formed teams at a pitch session on Friday night, and then reconvened Saturday for 10 hours of coding and designing, with the goal of producing a finished web application. The day ended with presentations and judging. Shannon talked with Startupifier member Mark Beaupre and John Volkman of Tech Think Tank.
What we did is on Friday night at 7 p.m., about 40 or 50 students and individuals from the Montreal area, tech professionals gathered and basically pitched ideas. So anyone that wanted to pitch, that was interested in pitching, was free to do so and try to recruit people to join their team to build their idea. And so they could basically build anything they like. But most of the products tend to be websites, because that's just the sort of thing that can be built in a day, just for practical purposes. So we had 17 different pitches, so 17 different ideas, everything ranging from an IOU application. Basically, they wanted to create a product that would make it easy for you to make a promise of money to someone. Another team has something that they're calling Get Angry Montreal, which is all about, sort of crowdsourcing problems in Montreal. So allowing citizens to kind of complain about this or that, whatever's making them angry in Montreal. And people could sort of, vote on those or something like that. I mean, we'll see how they do it. Saturday, everyone shows up at 9 a.m. To spend 10 hours straight coding or building their idea, making it happen.
And what are you guys building?
We are building something that we're calling Snap to Vote. And it's basically a like button for the real world. So basically you have little stickers, and you get these stickers and you stick them on things, and it's a picture of a QR code, which is a code that your phone can scan. And so when your phone scans this code, it'll take you to our website, and it'll say thank you for voting for the thing that you just scanned. So users of our site would come onto our site and create a QR code for a product, a person, a place, whatever they want, and they would get a QR code out of it. And anyone that scans that QR code and visits the site will register that as a vote for that item. 7 p.m. today is the cutoff. All the teams will have a chance to present to our panel of judges and be judged, and the best one will win some sort of prize.
And is it going to be a fully formed application and website at the end of these 10 hours?
Because of the time constraints, of a hackathon, people tend to build really simple things or they don't get finished. So we basically, you kind of, you know, pare your idea down to the core and really figure out what is the essential utility that your application needs to have, and you just do that so that you can complete it on time. So I think ours is pretty straightforward, and we'll definitely be able to finish it by 7 tonight. The organizations that are organizing this event are Startup Afire and Tech Think Tank. And I'm a member of Startup Afire, and it's made up of former and present students from, you know, all the universities in Montreal. We are focused on the whole Montreal area. So we want to get students. Our mission is to connect students with startups. So we want to encourage students to form startups, to create startups, to join startups, to consider startups as a career option. That's our focus. We want to promote technology. So we want to bring together students and the Montreal tech community.
My group is making a project we're currently calling Cool Space, and it's a social game. We're trying to make a social Facebook game where you create your space and you decorate it and you try to get people to come. This social game's got a lot of movement right now, so we're kind of just going with that and making something fun.
Could you tell me a little bit more about Tech Think Tank?
Tech Think Tank aims to kind of encourage a culture of creativity in the McGill tech community, and also to open up people in this community to people outside of the campus walls who have the same similar interests and experience in the field. So we do that by, number one, trying to get people out to these hackathons that we're holding with Startup Afire, and hold events on a regular basis where we bring in guest speakers. And a thing we started doing this year is having demo days to showcase talent of students and the projects that they have made on independently. And McGill alumni and other members of the tech community.
That was Shannon Palace speaking with Startup Afire member Marc Beaupré and John Volkman of Tech Think Tank at the recent hackathon event. Beaupré's Snap to Vote ended up snagging the title of Most Accomplished in a Single Day, and Cool Space received a nod for Most Creative. For information on Tech Think Tank, visit http://ttt.cs.mcgill.ca. And for Startup Afire, visit startupafire.com. The next hackathon will take place in January. After the hackathon, Shannon chatted with a few members from the McGill team Wikinotes, Clarence Lung, Wendy Liu, and Elaine Zarur, who used the day to add features to their existing note-sharing site, Wikinotes. Wikinotes snagged a spot in the top three at the hackathon, as well as the Good Citizen Award. The website has also recently come into some conflict with McGill's administration. Apparently reacting to some of the material being posted to Wikinotes, Morton Mendelson, Deputy Provost, Student Life and Learning, sent out a notice to all course instructors reminding them that, quote, instructor-generated content is protected under copyright law, and students are not allowed to distribute it without the express permission of the instructor or the university, end quote. Shannon talked to the Wikinotes team about their website as well as this recent controversy.
Basically, Wikinotes were an already existing organization here at McGill. So basically what we do is we run a site where people can share notes, help write answers to pass exams, like just basically have students helping each other by collaborating on one website. But right now the thing is, our website is kind of hard to use. We're using the same software as Wikipedia. So it's hard for us to manage, and it's hard for like the regular person to figure out.
So the purpose during the hackathon was mainly to rebuild the website. We already had a foundation set, but during the hackathon we worked on improving the features and just creating entirely new features just for the purpose of the hackathon. At the end we were able to demo a not completely finished product, but it was pretty good. The hackathon was a good opportunity to work on it for a long period of time because, I mean, food was provided and we were all there and we had a space to work on it with not that many distractions. So it was pretty great.
Could you tell me that story that you were telling me about how you guys got started again?
We met each other through like just one Bio 200 study group. And then as we took more courses together, we found out that we actually like shared a whole bunch of courses, and more people just kept coming in after that. So that was pretty nice.
So the idea of Wiki Notes is you have students post things like course notes and past exams and solution sets online. Have you gotten any resistance from the admin or from your teachers for doing that?
Actually, yes, we've gotten, I think, the physiology department mainly that started this because there were some links to lecture recordings, okay. Not even lecture recordings themselves, that were posted on Wiki Notes. And these links they're publicly accessible, so anyone who has the link can just view the lecture recordings. And I guess the physiology department was not happy about the links being posted, mm-hmm. So we were asked to remove them, as well as, textbook images, which should not have been posted in the first place. So that's understandable. But I personally feel that the lecture recordings was a bit surprised to find that they had asked us to take it down, because the proper security protocol would be to hide them from public view if the administration did not want them to be viewed publicly.
This actually led to an email from the administration to basically every single McGill professor. If you heard in any of your classes that you shouldn't post any of the WebCT resources or McGill resource online, it was really our fault. But we feel that students should still be able to share notes and still should be able to help each other. We feel that that's very important. Just don't do anything that might infringe on copyright.
Is it frustrating to see McGill react in that way when other universities like MIT has this huge open courseware movement and it's doing so well?
Yeah, it is pretty frustrating. But then again, I don't know, I guess we'll have to find a way to deal with individual profs. And maybe if we want to post some of their notes, ask them. And then if it's okay, then yeah, that'd be great. Lately, there have been a couple of note sharing websites that have been expanding onto McGill. So for example, Note Solution, mm-hmm. They had a booth at Activities Night, and they recently sent an email to a bunch of students, just a bit unsolicited in a way, but just telling us about Note Solution and how we can obtain credits and download notes from their website. And while we are sort of competing with them in a sense, we're pretty different in that our notes are free, their notes are not. And while we do support the idea that they have a good idea, that their idea is to sell notes and they want to make money from that, okay, sure, we have no problem with that. It's just that we don't have the same ideology, I guess. So in a sense, we are competing on ideological level. We believe that information should be free. We believe that collaboration should be possible. Whereas with Note Solution, it's just you sell your lecture notes and then someone downloads the lecture notes. There's no collaboration. There's no freedom of distribution or access. So if you don't have the credits in your account to download notes, yeah, you can't do that.
That was Shannon Paulus speaking with Clarence Lung, Wendy Liu, and Elaine Zarur of note sharing website WikiNotes. WikiNotes plans to roll out their revamped site in the coming months. You can find them at wikinotes.ca. Email admin@wikinotes.ca if you're interested in working with them, whether to code or just help share notes. Shannon's article detailing the hackathon and discussing WikiNotes ran in the Daily's SciTech section on Thursday, October 6th. You can also look for updates on the interactions between WikiNotes and McGill's administration in upcoming news articles.
Unfit to print!
Unfit to print!
You don't even know.
Done!
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the McGill Daily's Unfit to Print on CKUT. This is Culture Editor Fabio Monteveda signing off.